Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can have you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
You're listening to Sheffield Dawn on 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live.
Yeah, this is a sweet talking spot on Sheffield Live, the 9th of January, and like I said, you know, this particular day, this particular month, this particular time and year or month, yeah, never ever come again. So, you know, just check it out and see what I say now. Sweet talking sport, straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories, with both interviews and drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether local or international. And good to go, on air, style, expansive debate, analysed by myself and sometimes CG, and sometimes a man called G. You know, with regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking sports radio chat show you will ever hear.
Sell your tenanted property for full market value.
Yeah, you know, I hope nobody's listening to this show, but if you are, please keep it to yourself, yeah? And you know what? I'm going to jump straight in. How about that for kind of sweet kind of introduction? Well, I'm going to give you something now that's not really too sweet, yeah? And Clive Betts, those of you who were not aware of Clive Betts, Labour, Member of Parliament, short for that is MP, obviously, for Sheffield East, is known for his housing and local government economic policies. Long career he's had in local politics before becoming an MP back in 1992. And after this, Betts must be a blade. You understand? Now, the thing what I want to discuss now is, you know, Betts has blasted the Owls administrators, yeah? Saying that they've been unacceptable, a lack of communication to the fans. Are they doing justice, yeah? Are they being transparent? Do Sheffield Wednesday fans know what's happening? Or is no news good news? Well, Wednesday now have preferred bidders, yeah, which I think, you know, behind the scenes we've been aware, I think there's a couple of bidders what have kind of joined up and formed some kind of consortium. And that delayed the announcement of, you know, the buyers. And I believe that, you know, part of the administrating team, there's a big Wednesday fan in there too. And I bet he's took a sidestep in it. We can't want one piece of the cake too. Yeah? The fans being left in the dark, according to Betts. No new updates. So therefore, the fans assume that everything's moving kind of smoothly behind the scenes. However, let me say that word again. However, Mr. Betts, who is the Labour MP for Sheffield East, like I said, has called, you know, has been quite vocal and said there's a lack of transparency throughout the whole process. You know, some people say trust the process, but, you know, Bates coming like, you know, Ironside, coming like Colombo, you know what I mean? And he's kind of dug into, he's kind of poking them, poking the bear, you could say. Betts even suggested that Sheffield Wednesday administrators are acting against the Football Governance Act, yeah, 2025, of which he was a crucial voice during the passing of Parliament. Well, let me tell you something about this. The Football Governance Act 2025. I'm going to tell you how this act kind of goes, okay? It creates independent football regulators, yeah? IFR, for the English Football Licensing Club, in the top five men's tier, Premier League, National leagues, to ensure financial stability. Okay, it protects the fans. So one could say, have Sheffield Wednesday fans been protected? You know, not just does it protect the fans, but it protects the heritage. Yeah, safeguarding measures are put in place. Introduce stronger owners or directors. They have to go through a financial kind of test. There's rules. And the fans consulted requirements for the heritage. Changes such as name, badges. The IFR, licensed clubs, enforces rules on spending and ownership and can mandate renewal sharing. So basically, you know, it's a serious act. And before a proposed law or bill becomes an act of Parliament, yeah, it must successfully pass thorough, rigorous process. You're talking scrutiny, which involves debate. After debate, you get approval in both houses of Parliament. Then this becomes a royal assent. Basically, approval from the monarch, yeah? Whether a king or queen, you know what I mean? So whoever that is, obviously, you know, people who follow things will know say a King Charles, you know what I mean? So, you know, listen, if you've just tuned in, listening to Sweet Talking Sport, and we're talking about Sheffield Wednesday consortium, the buyers, the bidders, you know, not being transparent with the fans. Mina, I'm going to give you a little taste of this, the summary of the Convenience Act 2025. Talk about revenue distribution, okay? Talk about scope, applies to the Premier League and the Championship Leagues, Leagues 1, 2, and the National Leagues. The goals are, like I said before, to safeguard the future and the financial health of English football, you know? Basically, it's there to protect against the Banduli people, them, you know, who want to just buy a club and say they own it. You know what I mean? Like I said before, about scrutiny. Independence, football regulators. Yeah, that's them who are regulating it. It's got things like licensing systems. Clubs in the top five men's league must obtain IFR license, yeah, to operate, ensuring compliance with new rules. Yeah, owners, directors test. Yeah, strict test to ensure prospective owners and directors, yeah, are suitable. Like I say, not doing any banduli. You know what I mean? Financial scrutability. Yeah, imposes stronger financial controls and reliance measures to prevent, you know, overspending and financial ruin. Like, so if you look at Chancery, as he kind of overspent, but nobody was saying that when he were splashing out millions trying to get into the Premiership, and he has spent some money, to be fair, you know. So it wasn't all doom and gloom, you know. He put his hand in his pocket, yeah, we're getting in some players. And they came close to the Premiership a few occasions, fell short. Yeah? Fans' engagement and heritage, as I've mentioned, requires fans' consultation on significant club heritage. Change his name, like I said, or badge, or even kits. And it protects against hasty alterations. Yeah? Revenue distribution gives the IFR oversight. To mandate revenue sharing between leagues, potentially impacting financial flow and supporting the pyramid. So basically about the pyramid, it just gets filtered through. Yeah, scope applies to the Premier League, Championship, like we said, League One, League Two, and of course the National League, with potential to expand should that come to the forefront. Yeah. So, you know, do you know what, right? People might say, do you know what? You're the wrong guy to discuss this because you're kind of biased, right? But I'm not kind of the biased one. I've tried to locate the captain quite a few occasions. In fact, We'll give him a bell. Yeah? And don't forget, this is live. And we can't get all of him. He's nowhere to be seen. That's what you get when you phone a Wednesday fan. You just get ring ring. Ding-a-ling. Yeah? That's all you hear. Yeah? So when, you know, well, people are in their own rights, if they want to say, you know, I'm biased, then that's their prerogative, yeah? That's their opinion, and I've got my opinion. Do you know what I mean? You've just heard live and direct, you know, on Sweet Talking Sport. I've just tried to phone the captain, yeah? Nah, pick up, phone Brooke, yeah? No use, just a ring. So, yeah, but do you know something, right? If these kind of like acts, yeah, are put in place and abrupt them, or they're not adhering to them, then what is the punishment? Do you know what I mean? Because surely there must be something. There must be some kind of a punishment. Well, you could dock the club, more points, make them feel it, yeah? Because don't forget, these people are supposed to be the hierarchy who are putting their cash into the club. But if they're not being transparent before they even get named, should they be the owners of that club? Should they be put in a position then Because what's going to happen to them, they're just stalling. But then you've got, yeah, you've got like one of the administrators who's a massive, when I say massive, Wednesday fan, yeah. Is he doing some covering up business? Do you know what I mean? Is he the right guy, yeah, to put the process in place? Well, I'm gonna kind of like leave that to fans, not just Wednesday fans or United fans, to have that discussion in their own quarters. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, people might think, "Oh, you're biased." You know, you've not, you know, given a Wednesday chance or a Wednesday supporter, right, to voice, to kind of like block what you say, and for them to, you know, explain as a Wednesday fan how they feel. It is. Well, I've just phoned the captain up, and like I said, all you heard was ring, ring, ding a ling. You know what I mean? So I think that's something is to be watched. But if you bring in an act in Parliament and it goes through debate and all that kind of stuff, like I said, whether it's a law or a bill, and it becomes an act, yeah, and if that process is broken, then surely needs to be consequences, because people aren't doing what they're supposed to do, and people aren't saying what they're going to do, yeah, what they say they're going to do. You know what I mean? So, you know, listen to Sweet Talking Sport. It's Friday the 9th of January, 1816. I'm here on my ones, but like they say in show business, the show must go on. And like, you know, yeah, it's moving forward. But respect to Mankar G, who don't present on CV, you know, coming like Christmas again, because, you know, family connection is tight. You know what I'm saying, Mr. V? And respect to Bortoni. Listen, I'm going to move away from football, but I'll be back in touch with it. And I want to talk about Littler. Now, I discussed this guy on a show months ago. And I'm dangerous enough. I'm telling you that Littler is dangerous. Littler has signed a sponsorship deal worth, reported in the region, all this, 20 million quids. 20 million, people are saying. He's been sponsored. What kind of deal's that? Car? Yeah? Yard? Or whatever? He might even still live at home with his rents. His parents, you know? Anyway, Littler, world number one, has signed, like I said, a record sponsorship deal for a dart player worth a reported 20 mil. And he's only 18, right? The 18-year-old claimed the 1 million prize for winning the World Championship early this month. He signed a 10-year agreement with Target Darts. So he might have a target on him back too. Yeah? What happens if he doesn't want to perform, or if he can get broke or something like that? You know what I mean? Would that contract be still viable? You know? Can you imagine that? If some bad mind people just broke up him and, you know what, fling the darts, yeah? What would happen to that contract now? Only Jano, yeah? Target has described the deal as the largest agreement in darts history. You can say that again. Between a brand and a player, and PA Media reports that it's worth up to 20 million squids with potential bonuses and add-ons. Yeah? Littler's representative, Target Darts, yeah? Comment. Littler has won 2 world titles and already has 10 major titles to his name. Yeah? Remember his age. 18, I said. Littler has won 2 titles and already has 10 majors to his name. Target has believed in him from day one. Really? From day one? When am I you? And am I Ron Ronan and all them something then? Yeah? From his playing career to his product range, we've built everything together. And I'm really excited to commit to our partnership long term, whether our long term or short term, for that price. You know, who's not going to commit? Who's not going to be excited? Yeah? Target sells a range of equipment, including Luke Lickler darts, dartboard, and playing shirts. So, them Pitney there, they probably, you know, for Christmas, you might get a Luke Lickler shirt on it. Or they might say, Mum or Papa, can I have one of them dartboard there? Yeah? For fling. Yeah? I mean, Lickler burst on the scene 24 World Championships, reaching the final but coming up short against Luke Humphries. Yeah, I saw a little bit of that. He won the Premier League titles in 24 and went on to lift his first major, yeah, January last year, before retaining his own crown. Okay, there's only Phil Taylor. Remember Phil Taylor back in the days? Yeah, with 14 and Michael Vern Gerwen, the Dutchman, yeah, on 3. I've won more PDC, yeah, that's Professional Darts World titles than Lickler, who is only just the 4th player to triumph that in successive years. Target chairman Plummer said, I met Luke at a BDO Youth World Championship qualifier when he was 12. And he must have schooled him from there. So, what am I talking about, day one? At 12, he'd say, yes, sir. And that day, his dad asked if we would sponsor him. Yeah? We never, you know, taken somebody so young, but I saw something special. Yeah? Yeah, it was easy deal, you know? His papa said, yeah, can you sponsor my youth? And they must have just kind of like, you know, put a few figures. Dad said, yes, please, I'll have some of that. You know what I mean? Luckily, he was unknown when he was 16. You know, and I feel a bit of contradiction here because, you know, I think that it was probably December 23. It was the youngest world championship, world number one in the darts history. Okay, his successor, you know, global big bolcher, you know what I mean, drawing the masses them, you know what I mean, big audiences all over the world. Basically, he's a prodigy. He's a young youth winning numerous titles at junior level. Yeah, so I'm not surprised it was an easy decision. If you've got Littler, yeah, 12-year-old, cleaning up all the kind of like, you know, little dark competitions, of course people are going to look out for him. You know, there's going to be one eye on him, yeah? And I bet, like I say, it was such an easier decision. You know, if his papa's come up to them and said, listen, you know, my youth there, my win things, would you like to sponsor him? Yes, please. You know what I mean? Easy decision. At 12, there's probably nobody else on the scene like Lickler flinging them darts. Yeah? So there you go with that one. Just want to share a story here. By the way, I'm dipping into basketball here. This is what you get on Sweet Talking Sport, yeah? We're not them kind of like, them other kind of sports shows what just kind of focus on football and stuff. You know what I mean? We're dipping this and dipping that. You know what I mean? Anything can come through where we are. But this is a bit of a sad story, really. Minnesota had to hold a moment of silence for unspeakable tragedy, okay? The Minnesota Timberwolves held a moment of silence in memory of Renee Nicole Good, who was shot dead by a US immigration agent before Friday's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. This woman, 37, was killed less than 4 miles from the Timberwolves' target centre following a confrontation on Wednesday morning. Now, to my knowledge, Good never had no kind of gun pon them, but, you know, to take somebody's life like that, like you say, it's unthinkable. But, you know, maybe it can only happen in America. As well, as we all know, our community has suffered. This is a spokesperson speaking about their community in Minnesota. Another unspeakable tragedy. Timberwolves coach Finch said, we want to convey our condolences and from all of us from Sweet Talking Sport also as well, and the heartfelt wishes and prayers and throughout the families and loved ones and all those that are greatly affected by what happened. You know, and we talk about kind of like tragedies and stuff like that, and it kind of don't come really kind of like any bigger than this, does it really? You know what I mean? And like people say, you know, maybe you know, do you kind of like expect it from kind of like America, you know? But, you know, going back to Renee, 37-year-old, citizen of US, shot, you know, by an immigration officer and custom enforcement. You know, Good was in her car at the time, at the scene of an ongoing ICE operation, when she was approached by the agents who, according to an eyewitness, gave conflicting orders. You know, we're kind of used to hearing that out of the States, aren't we? As Good began to leave the scene, an agent reached in the driver's side window. A separate agent fired 3 shots and killed Good as the vehicle moved past him. As Good was manoeuvring forward but away from the shooter. Yeah? So just kind of like hold that thought, because Trump comes in now. Yeah? Donald come in and he defends the shooting as he always does, saying that the agent acted in self-defense and Good had attempted to run him over. The account has been contracted by eyewitnesses and journalists, analysts, yeah, of video footage of the shooting, as justified, as being disputed by the local figures and, you know, by the Democratic parties, you know, lawmakers, the latter of whom have called for a criminal investigation, yeah. So, you know, you have the officers, them trigger happy over there. You know what I mean? And just want to take people out. Now, if Good had a gun upon her still and went to draw, then yeah, they don't have to wait until they see the pistol or the handgun or whatever. Yeah, even if they were going to put hand in them pocket, they assume it's a gun, they assume it's a weapon, they are trained to shoot and kill on sight, you know? But yeah, just kind of giving you a different flavour of what's happening, you know, around the world, and that's in Minnesota. You know what I mean? You know, Minnesota hold that moment of silence of respect, yeah? And they're not a bad side to play, you know, in the Pro League, playing a high standard. The fourth in the Western Conference. They have some big players in that division, you know. So there ain't no kind of like, you know, kind of weakness in that division. Yeah, no weakness at all. Yeah. Wallace, Al Campbell, can't take the pressure upon a green sleeve label, my boss, 1986, yeah, can't take it. What am I doing? What am I saying? Hear that? Tell them Al Campbell, a war. Yeah, just bossing Fimi Greensleeve, you know, from the dub basket connection. Al Campbell, what can I say? Can't take the pressure. Yeah? You listen to Sweet Talking Sport on Friday the 9th, 1831. And, you know, if you've kind of like missed the start of the show, yeah, don't feel no way, because you can listen to this show live every Friday. But like I say, if you've missed to the start, you can go on the archives and on the website, click there, you know, and listen, you know, to the download, okay? But like, those who listened to the show last week can remember when I was talking about Leroy Rossini. I said, you know, most likely get the Chelsea's job, and what happened? Well, obviously, you know, you got the news first on here. He got the Chelsea's job. And for me, is it a good choice? I think it's a straightforward one, because Strasbourg are Chelsea's, you know, they're linked to Chelsea anyway. So all he's done is slide over from France, yeah, and took over the hot seat of Chelsea. You know, Rossini says he will, you know, be his own boss, his own man, and ignore the noise, you know, about his appointment. Well, you know, yeah, just why not? Just get on with the job. 41-year-old, signed a contract until 2032. You know, following the departure of Maresca. Maresca, I thought he was like a little EH man. You know what I mean? Dictatorship. You know what I mean? I say, I go down them kind of avenue there. But, well, this, I reckon he'll bring back Ryan Sterling from the cold. Now, I'm not saying that I'll drop him in the first team, but he'll say, yo, my brother, come train with me, you know? And I think Ryan Sterling, yeah, he'd like to be playing regular first team football and stuff, but you know what? He's sitting nice on his big wage. So you don't hear too much noise from that region, yeah? And I don't blame him about wage cut and all them something, you know what I mean? Let them pay him. But, you know, Rossini will say, yo, get your butt down to the training ground, yeah? Because it's game on, you know? Rossini holding his first conference as Blues boss before taking charge of tomorrow's FA Cup clash against Charlton. Charlton haven't got too far to travel, by the way. In fact, I'm not sure whether... Chelsea are playing away, so Chelsea haven't got far to travel. Rossini said that he felt the club's potential was limitless. Well, with the money what they're throwing at it, I'm not surprised, mate. Yeah, it is the first job in the Premier League for the London-born former player who managed Championship Hull, you know, only, what, a couple of years ago. You know, believe it or not, managing Hull between 22 and 24, yeah? Hull said, you know what, see you later, Liam. You don't fit, you know, what we want to do here. You know, you're not on the bus with us. So off he went, to packed his bags and went to Strasbourg. I won't mind seeing him down at the lane, actually, you know. But there you go, that's another story for another day. So, you know, 2-year stint in France, like I said, at Strasbourg. When he went in there at Strasbourg, he said it was just a joke, the media, and they said that, you know, the team would finish last. Do you know what I mean? So they were dissing him already. You know what I mean? Before he even took a training session. Said it's a joke. You know what I mean? Whether the colour of his skin had anything to do with it, you know. Again, another discussion for a different day. But, you know, there was nobody from England. And we finished 3 points off the championship place. The noise is just noise, says, you know, Rossini. And I like the way how he drops that as well. You know, so not promising it, but he believes strongly that we can be very successful there. And, you know, quite rightly so. Now, this is how Rossini is going to set up. And I want you to listen to these tactics here.
Liam Rossini's sides off the ball defend in a back five, especially closer to their own goal. This is because Liam Rossini doesn't want opposition players to have an overload on the back line. So as teams like to attack with five, you match them up by playing five in the back line. This can be with two wing backs and three central defenders, or it can be done with a winger dropping in and forming a makeshift back five. These two players protect the back line, and the attackers tend to block the central areas, allowing a lot of the play to be funneled into these wide spaces. Higher up the pitch, Rosinha's side like to press very aggressively, trying to win the ball. They do this again in that same 5-2-3 shape, which is sometimes zonal in their defence, but jumps to mark specific players when the opportunity arises. When teams play with a very wide defence, sometimes the Rosinha side might move into a 4 at the back and play a 4-4-2, which allows them to jump up and press into these wide areas. Moving on to what Rosinha sides do on the ball and from goalkeeping situations, they tend to use the goalkeeper as almost a fourth defender. They then keep this generic shape, which looks like a 3-2-2-3 on the ball, a 4-2-2-3 with the goalkeeper involved. And through these many players in the initial phase, like to build up short, enticing pressure before then playing quickly into players in these wider positions who then can attack the big space that does open up. When the ball has been progressed up the pitch, Rosinha likes to use this 3-2-2-3 shape on the ball, which is very similar to what Maresca used when he managed Chelsea. This is one of the reasons why Blueco would have hired Rosinha in the first place. One difference would be this position. So Maresca likes to use his fullback inside, whereas Rosinha likes both of these players to be central midfielders. This player here is often one of the fullbacks moving inside under both Rosinha and Maresca in Cucurella, for example, or Malo Gusto on this side. These wide players can be wingers or they can be wingbacks when Rosinha likes to play with the back five. So it's very interesting that although this shape is consistent, the base shape that they build upon out of possession can be different. But essentially, he tries to get players in all of these positions that suit their role. In terms of their intention, they like to build up quite...
Yeah, so I hope you got the gist of that. You know, all your coaches out there listening to that, or potential coaches, I should say. I mean, you know, in fact, last week I mentioned, and this is how things can change really quickly. Last week I mentioned that there were, Liam we're talking about. Liam Rossini. Could he be the third, or would he be the third to join Esperino, Darren Moore, and Rossini be the third?
But since that, Nuno and Darren, since that, sorry, Darren has been sacked. He got sacked on the 28th of December from Port Vale. So instead of there being three, yeah, Darren Moore's chairman said, roll over, you know, your time's up. So a next man took over. So Liam just makes two in the top flight, both in the Premiership. Nuno, West Ham, Rossini at Forest. Now, the other dude at Chelsea was Ruud Gullit. Yeah? He had the bullet, they said, to him roll over in 1998. He took charge of Chelsea for 21 months. Yeah? Under his belt, had the FA Cup. That was, what, 97? The first black manager to win something big on these shores. Yeah? I reckon, I'm sticking my neck out here, I reckon that Rossini is going to be in charge at Chelsea no longer than 18 months. Yeah? Because I don't really think that they see the kind of like the long term kind of like, you know, ambition, what, or the, or even the chances or the opportunities. It's just like, yeah, if it's the bill, not gonna cost much, do you know what I mean? We'll give him a big contract and just, you know, maybe he's on the same kind of like lolly what he's on now. Who knows? But anyway, a little bit more.
They said that my team would finish last. It was an impossible project. That the players were way too young, too inexperienced. I was a nobody from England. We finished, I think, 3 points outside the Champions League. The outside noise is just noise. If you focus
see
on the job,
tell them
your players and your staff and your process, I feel like you can do amazing things. I am not promising it. I'm working towards it, but I believe very strongly that we can be successful here.
Yeah, so, you know, you have to big that up. You know what I mean? And kind of like, you know, respect what he's saying. A very kind of like humble guy. And yeah, I think we just kind of like have to wish him kind of all the very best out there. You know what I mean? You know, if you can kind of like control things, you know, situations like that. Yeah? You don't business about the outside noise. Noise is just noise, I see him say. But some just blow louder than others. You know what I mean? But there you go. Like I said, I can't really see him being there. You know, more than kind of like 18 months, unfortunately. Because it's like, you know what they're going to say. Roll over. But, you know, if he's a clever dude, he might have something kind of like written in his contract or something that he can just jump straight back and go to, you know, Strasbourg, you know, where he come from. You know what I mean? So, you know, you just kind of like, you just never know. 1843, time's moving on, and we're moving on too, yeah? Like I said, just in and out of different sports and topics and stuff like that. So I hope everybody's enjoying the show, you know? And, you know, if you want some more, you come back. Next week and listen me good, you know. FA Cup is here again. Go around the world, go tell the you merry men, you know what I mean. You know, for me and you know, thousands of other people as well, the FA Cup, it's not like it used to be, you know, because I know we've chatted on here many moons ago about, you know, what it meant to watch the FA Cup as a kid. You know, it didn't have to be your team, you know. It could be the final, you know, on the road to Wembley, you know, when the cameras are on board on the coaches and stuff. You know what I mean? And the interviewing players and, you know, what would it wouldn't hurt, would it, to bring that back? I mean, you know, it's not like they're discussing tactics and stuff. You know what I mean? Player position and stuff and team sheet. You know what I mean? That comes later. But I think, you know, a lot of teams dismiss the cup, but I suppose it depends what's on the agenda, doesn't it, really? Because, you know, teams, you know, for some teams, things just get in the way of the domestic season, you know? And they diss it. They diss in the competition, yeah? But this round now, round three, brings in the Premier League clubs and the Championship teams, yeah? You know, just going to highlight a few, really. Owls, for example, they take on Brentford, yeah? You know, the Blades, I've got Mansfield. So such as like for the Owls, yeah, this is an opportunity for them to just go out there and enjoy themselves. There's no pressures of, you know, 3 points or anything like that. They can literally go there, and it's an opportunity. This game kicks off tomorrow at Hillsborough at 3 o'clock. Like I said, you know, it's an opportunity for them to go out there and express themselves. Yeah, they can fling, literally, they can fling the kitchen sink on it. Yeah, in fact, kitchen sink, right? You know, that originated, you know, 20th century, and, you know, describing as folks living sort of like arrangements, you know, with their stuff, except the heavy duty, yeah, bolted down kitchen sink. You know what I mean? So it's an opportunity for Wednesday to just play. They can play their main players. I was going to say they can play their big players, but, you know, to be fair, I suppose every club, despite where they are, you know, have their big players. You know, so I don't think that they need to save any of their players. You know what I mean? You know, they can just kind of like give them the blue and white shirt and say, go out there, it's only Brentford, and deal with it. I mean, Brentford would want to progress. You know, if they relax and they think, yeah, you know, it's an easy win, I think that's the only thing that Wednesday can undo. You know, home advantage. I don't think we're expecting, or are we? We're expecting a big cup upset at Hillsborough tomorrow. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be, you know, on news of the 10 say Wednesday beat Brentford, big shock. You know what I mean? But I expect them to have a go. And I tell you what probably would be pleasing for Henrik, you know, Pedistan, is for them to go in at half-time 0-0. You know what I mean? You know, if you go in at 0-0, and then you have to build on that in the second half of the game. And then if the game's tightening up, then they might get the nod to say, yeah, open up. You know what I mean? But I think the first 20 minutes will know which way this game's going now. Because Wednesday will say, do you know what? Let's kind of like keep it tight. But if we're in the final third and we get a set piece, yeah, then fling the kitchen sink on it, like I said. You know what I mean? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But we know that their defence is, you know, have leaks. They haven't won all season at home. Is this the one? I don't think so. So don't get excited. You know what I mean? Yeah? Don't get excited out there. You know, I expect kind of like I said, expect Brentford to be in the fourth round. You know what I mean? Just sticking by the Owls a little bit, you know, like I said, you know, people might say, oh, yeah, you know, I've heard him on Sweet Talking Sport. He's kind of biased as they come. But no, I'm going to give you some air time, you know what I mean? So just feel fine with it, yeah? The latest link, they've been linked with another Man United Youth Academy player called Gabriel Biancheri, you know, 19-year-old marksman, yeah, for the top end of the pitch. But don't get too excited, Owls fans, because he's also been linked with Cardiff City, yeah. And where did he spend his youth career? With Cardiff, yeah. So you'd expect Cardiff to be favourites for his signature, but you know. If you look at Wednesday's strategy, yeah, they've had Harry Amass already from Man U, and it looked like, say, him gone for bigger things, because he needs that bigger test. He needs to be playing in a championship side, yeah, challenging for promotion at the top end of the league. You know what I mean? Yes, he's playing week in, week out at Wednesday. You know what I mean? And now, I think the test is can we move this player on even to bigger things? So it's not been... You know, it's not being kind of disrespectful to Sheffield Wednesday. It's just like saying, listen, this guy needs a bigger challenge. He doesn't need to be walking into the first team week in, week out, pan him name, now look up on the board and see him name pan the team sheet and that. Do you know what I mean? He needs to be knocking on the boss's door and saying, no, why aren't I in the side? Do you know what I mean? So you can see what they're doing there. You know, I mean, you know, Wednesday I've got their guy, Bailey Cadamartri, you know. Apparently he's hot property, you know what I mean? And he's also named in the Jamaica squad for the World Cup qualifying the 2nd of March when they play, you know, New Caledonians. You know what I mean? That's a big game, that, for JA. You know what I mean? You know, let's hope that they can pull up a few trees there, yeah? So that's kind of like a little kind of like rundown on Wednesday. Like I said, you know, not really expecting any big kind of upsets there at Hillsborough. Do you know what I mean? It should be business as usual for Brentford, you know what I mean? And they should, you know, I expect them to take full advantage of the situation that Wednesday don't know what it's like to win at home this season. You know what I mean? So if we, you know, swing over to the Blades now. News just in. I mean, they've signed a defender, right back, Hoover. Yeah, it's kind of Hoover. Dutch guy, got Dutch links, 23-year-old. Made 8 appearances in the Premiership already this season. And they need cover for Shariki because, you know, Shariki's a crowd favourite. He's done good. You know, it was very clear that after him right back spot that he nailed it. But the thing is now, and I like this behind the scenes, because if Shariki was to break down or get injured, they've got a replacement now. And this guy will offer some good competition for his spot. So I like that signing. I'm liking it. Yeah. And we've got Mansfield Town. Now, our game kicks off Sunday, 2:30. I don't know where them get 2:30 from. You know what I mean? But anyway, Nigel Clough brings his Mansfield Town to Bramall Lane on Sunday. I think for this tie now, on contrast compared to, you know, Sheffield Wednesday, you know, against Brentford, Wednesday got nothing to lose. Do you know what I mean? So they can fling everything pan at the kitchen sink and that. But like, see, United now, you know, this is where I'm going with, like, FA Cup. I'm not saying that they're dissing the FA Cup, but it's not really priority. Now, whether some of these young Pitney, them supporters, yeah, you know, they want to see a nice big cup run. You know what I mean? But with United, the eye on the bigger prize, can they gatecrash the top six? Well, it's possible. And depending who comes through the door, you know, they might be in good stead. I mean, they've picked up really well. I mean, you know, if they was to lose to Mansfield, you know, I think you get them Wednesday fans jumping on the bandwagon. Oh, you know, you get broke up by Mansfield Town and that. Do you know what I mean? You get dissed by them. But really, you know, not really. If they was to lose, you know, I wouldn't really feel no way. And I'm not sort of even joking, because, you know, I think get past Mansfield Town, you know, you've got the kids in there, which no doubt they'll, you know, they, for them to win, it gives them just more exposure in another game. But, you know, it's got its glitches in there, because if there was to go on a cup run, maybe the league then would suffer. So I don't think that, you know, you're going to get, basically, I think you're going to get 11 changes out there, and it will probably make it more of a game. Now, Mansfield, I feel them final, innit? Do you know what I mean? So they're going to go at it hammer and tongs. To me, it's not, I'm not even looking at it as a banana skin or anything like that. And like I said, you know, it wouldn't even bother me one iota if Sheffield United Football Club wasn't in the hat for the fourth round draw. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't bother me, you know? And I think, and I'm going to be vocal about this, you know what I mean? You know? Got bigger fish to fry. You know what I mean? Yeah, upon a bigger platform. We've got to look at priority. Do you know what I mean? Which is getting out of the league. Can we gatecrash the top six? Well, yes, we can do it. You know what I mean? So, you know. So, yeah. I don't business if they don't make it. Yeah? Tomorrow. On Sunday, I should say. You know what I mean? So, expectations of the cup. Yeah. Like I said, no shock at Hillsborough. Business as usual for Brentford. You know, which the decline of Sheffield Wednesday will continue. They've suffered already. They're still suffering 18 points deduction. Do you know what I mean? You know, lying permanently bottom of the championship. You know what I mean? We can't get out. We can't get out. You know what I mean? So, you know, and is it a case of expect the worst? You know what I mean? You know, just have to just take it, innit? And just, you know, they're hoping that they'll reset in League One. Yeah, but let me tell you something, my friend. It's not going to be so easy. Yeah, not going to be so easy for get out of that. So, Cup, FA Cup. On board, yeah, you know, I saw it go. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the show, Sweet Talking Sport, and those of you who miss it, you know, y'all get bon, you know what I mean? No, I'm kicking. Those of you who miss it, you can just tune in, you know, to just Google Sweet Talking Sport. In fact, Google Sheffield Live Radio schedule, and you'll find details of the show and previous shows on there. Yeah, 18:59. Do you know what? I'm out of here. Goodbye.